You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Art General. My name is Cora Zon, and my very special guest today is Kim Harris. Good morning, Kim Harris.
Good morning, Cora.
Kim is the CEO and founder of the Conscious Thinking Company.
Correct.
And we're talking about change. That's the topic that we're going to be talking about today. So today is the first session. Now, you have a change process that you like to step people through. Perhaps give us a little bit of an overview of the change process and, you know, the kind of reasons that people might want to engage with it.
Yeah, well, I guess if we really think about it, change is inevitable in life. We are always going through, well, from time to time, we go through these transitionary times just as a natural course of life, for example, like going from maybe primary school into high school into university, university into the workforce, or we get to our kind of age and it might be like a career change, or we go from being a non-parent to a parent. You know, change is just a natural part of life. And so in that, there is a natural change process that we can be in harmony and be quite unconscious about. And so sometimes we're able to effect really great changes in our lives and go through that process in a really natural, organic kind of way. And then sometimes we have change kind of thrust upon us, could be from an unexpected, you know, loss of job, a bad health report, loss of somebody that we love. There can be lots of reasons, even more recently, you know, like a storm or a flood or a, you know, these types of events are very unexpected and they thrust us into this change process. And it can be very discomforting naturally for us to go through that from an emotional point of view. So when we have more conscious awareness of a change process and when we understand it as a process, we're much more able to get back in harmony with that natural process. And so that's what I love to teach people about and what I've created a lot of expertise around, because, yeah, it really assists people to go through it with a lot less resistance. So you gain a lot more energy. You can also, as a result of the change process, you're also able to learn how to ask for support in much more supportive ways. So it's can identify helping partners, they're called, in your life. And these are often people that really care about you and really love you and really want the best for you. And we can help them to help us go through a change process, which is actually a really necessary component of the whole process in entirety. So, yeah, there is a lot in it, but that's generally, yeah, where I'm coming from.
I think it's really exciting to have a structure around change. Like you were saying before, we often just go organically through change and we stumble and fall and through the process.
Yeah, and we've all had sometimes changes that we've wanted to make that are positive, and we know they're positive and we really want them, and then for some reason we can't make it happen. And it's like, what is that? Like, what is going on where we logically want something and then find ourselves behaving in ways that aren't supporting that bigger aim? And yeah, so there's definitely pitfalls in the process when we're not aware of it and when we're not educated in it.
So that structure also perhaps forms a form of a map.
Yes, it does, very much. It's very much a proven framework or a proven step-by-step kind of formula, and you can have a good bird's eye view and you can see where you're at in the process overall, and then that way you can match up what you actually need for where you're at in a much more personalized way. And I think that's the other wonderful thing about this, that it's recognizing that we're all unique and we're all individuals, and we need the personal approach way more sometimes than we think, and we need to match up our own psychology and our own biology and our own dreams and our own visions for our life with the right process at the right time, because that's what helps us ultimately be successful.
It's a little bit like cooking as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone likes their own flavors. Everyone likes their own types of food. Yeah, we all have preferences, and we all have different learning styles. We all have, we've all had unique experiences. Not one person is the same.
Well, it sounds, well, we'll talk a little bit more about a particular change process that might be suitable for creatives
and
go through that process after the song.
Lovely.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Art Journal. My very special guest is Kim Harris, and we're talking about the process of change. And you've mapped this out. You have organized the processes in a way that makes it easier for people to change. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, well, I guess as being a creative type, we understand that when we want to create something, there's sort of stages that we go through, and we have a thought of something in our mind, or a picture in our mind of something that we want to create, and then we get the things that we need, and then we go out and we start to get into action and to create whatever it is that in that is a real essential ingredient, which is that mindfulness, a kind of approach. It's actually stopping and pausing and doing things in a much more conscious way, in a much more aware way. And so in plotting this out and putting a little framework around it, it just makes people see more clearly it as a process, which means they can now consciously choose it whenever they want to, with the intention of creating something and moving from where they're at to where they would might prefer to be.
So you're saying there's six stages of change?
Yeah, there's six stages, and they are, the first one is pre-contemplation, the second stage is contemplation, the third stage is preparation, the fourth stage is action, the fifth stage is maintenance, and the sixth stage is called termination, which sounds quite cutting off, but that's essentially where you've successfully made the change, and when you're in a situation where you might be tempted to do the old way, or the thing that you used to do, or the thing that you were, the embedded pattern that you wanted to break in the change process, you might be tempted to go back to it, but you get to this point where it's no longer a temptation, and it's completely integrated now, that the change that you wanted.
Oh, that makes me wonder if integration might be a better word than termination.
It might be. I'm sure there are better words, but that's, I guess, from the science of it, is that's what they refer to it. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, and so then we've got these six stages, but there's also within that, there's nine processes that we can learn that facilitate each one of those stages. So if we're in pre-contemplation, which is the first stage, there's eight processes that we can select from that will help us move from pre-contemplation into contemplation. And we're only looking for these little adjustments, because obviously the purpose is that we want a long-lasting, permanent change, and a positive one. So to go through this process very mindfully, understanding that you don't need to, it takes a while. It takes anywhere from 3 months to 2 years to actually create change across all the systems that you need to change. Yeah,
I'm starting to imagine a control panel.
Good.
Well, yeah. You know, like say if you have the six stages of change, and within each change, having some knobs that you can dial in, dial up or down to kind of adjust the way that you want it. So you're saying in stage one, for example, there are eight possible dials there that you could adjust.
Yes.
What are some of those dials?
Oh, some of them are really good. What's an example of one of them? Oh, I'm trying to think now. There's one that is like setting up your environmental conditions, for example. This is a really big one. So environmentally, we can do a lot to support a change. Say a really simple example. This is a real practical example. Let's say I need to get my washing done. And so I put the washing in the washing machine and I turn it on and let it run its cycle. Now I've got wet washing. So that is an opening for me. It's an environmental condition where I go, oh, I've got to hang that washing out. So I've then step into, okay, well, now I'm going to hang the washing out mode, if that makes sense. So it's like that. It's like we want to set up our environment to call us into action.
It might go before that, like with the washing basket in, you know, for the dirty laundry.
That's right.
So you've got the washing basket.
It's an opening for action.
There's the opening to put the washing in there.
Yes.
I mean, it's a pretty practical example. But is that what you're saying? So the change is we've got dirty clothes, we want clean clothes.
Yep.
The change is Let's start with like setting up the environment so that they're collected in a spot.
Exactly.
That's what you mean?
It's exactly like that. So you can think of that's a simple example, but it works the same with any type of change. We need to be mindful of how the environment calls us to be.
Ooh, okay, let's talk about another one of those dials that we can adjust after this song.
Okay.
We're talking about the process of change that has been beautifully crafted and structured into a way to follow, to make change simpler for all.
Yeah, and just have conscious awareness about how we can do it. So how we can do it in a way that we can do it faster, more efficiently, and can also make sure that in the process we are fully supported, and particularly from an emotional point of view, because I think the rise in anxiety, the rise in depression, just mental health issues is...
I think part of it too is that, you know, worry is like a form of problem solving without solutions.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So if you have a way to solve your problem by knowing to address certain things, it empowers you.
Absolutely. And that's the whole purpose. And I'm glad that you touched on that, because it refers to another one of the processes that we can use in our arsenal for change work, and that is this idea of social liberation. So it's like using social structures to actually support our change. So an example of this is if you want to quit smoking and you've decided that you're going to quit smoking and you're prepared to quit smoking, you can start to use the non-smoking area as your ally in quitting smoking. It's a social structure that's been put into effect to support people in moving toward a healthier behaviour, right? Because smoking it does create a lot of health issues.
So in one way that uses two of the processes, it's the environment and the social liberation.
Yeah, because I guess it doesn't. I guess if the ultimate aim is to terminate the process or integrate the change completely, and let's say using smoking as an example, the aim then is to never be tempted to smoke ever again. You want full freedom from this behavior that was affecting your health, right? So that's the aim. We want full liberation, and so going on this idea of empowerment, that's what it is. Like, we want to liberate ourselves once and for all from anything that is problematic in our life. And it could be an emotionally rooted thing like depression, for example, or it could be smoking, like stopping smoking, but it could be, you know, there's lots of other changes. And that's what's so wonderful about this process, is that you can personalize it to your unique situation and circumstance. Whatever the change is, this process helps. Yeah, so it's a real universal tool.
I really like it. So with the first stage being pre-contemplation, and you've got 9 possible
knobs.
Dials.
Yep.
to adjust.
Yes.
Kind of like adjusting the heating or cooling.
Yeah.
To make it, you know, conducive for whatever you want. What tell us first about that first stage, and what dials might you want to look at?
Yes, in the first stage, in pre-contemplation, this is where we might be avoiding actually dealing with a change that we have an inkling we might need to address, but we're not really ready to address it yet, and it can be quite discomforting to even think about changing it. We might be in outright denial about that we need to change it. Smoking is a great example, because I've actually heard my father-in-law going, well, you got to die of something. I'm going to die smoking. So he's right in pre-contemplation, because he's actually just completely denying that there's any need for change, which is fine. And this is part of me being a helping partner for him, identifying where he is, understanding where he is, and not putting any pressure on him to jump into, you know, quit smoking, like stop you know, take the cigarettes out of his hand or whatever, because he's not there yet. He's not anywhere near ready to take action around quitting smoking.
So what dolls could there be used in that area?
Yeah, so the first in pre-contemplation, one of the dials that you could use or one of the processes is called consciousness raising, which obviously is a big one. Conscious Thinking Company, I love to raise people's conscious awareness about things. And consciousness raising is really just learning to observe yourself. So there's two kinds of perspectives we can take in life when we're going through an experience. So if we're in the experience as a participant, we're embodying the experience and feeling it and associating into it. So that'd be like the analogy is we're in the car and we can feel the steering wheel in our hands and we are driving and controlling the car. We are associating, we are in the experience as a participant. We can also take the position or the perspective of being outside of the car and seeing ourselves in the car, driving the car as an observer. So it's a really useful skill to start to practice consciously that I can be both a participant or I can step out and just observe myself mindfully. And when I'm observing mindfully, start to categorize what I'm experiencing. Oh, I notice I just had a thought and this was the thought. Oh, I notice I'm feeling this physical sensation. Oh, I notice I just evaluated this situation and I judged that person. Oh, I notice I've just made a decision that I'm going to do XYZ, or I've got an urge to do something, and I notice I've got an urge to say this to somebody.
I find that so interesting, because when we talk about mindfulness, we often talk about the more the embodied experience of, I, you know, you get into your senses and really feel where you are. But you're saying there's a mindfulness also in that observer mode.
Absolutely. And I think mindfulness is just the beginning. Mindfulness is like pressing the pause button, taking a breath and understanding that we can be both the participant and the observer, and we need both, and we need to bring balance to both. I think if you go into the extremes of either, so if you're always embodied and you're only ever feeling the feelings, then you're missing out on the intelligence that that feeling is actually bringing to your awareness. So I kind of think of it like, inside your body, every feeling that you have is almost like a sentient being that's very wise, and it's saying, hey, here I am, I'm sadness, and I'm trying to communicate with you right now. I'm trying to give you some wisdom about what's going on for you. So you can feel it, but if you don't then step out and observe it and go, oh, I notice you, sadness, you're not hearing the message. And so then the sadness increases.
So the feelings or emotions are like signals.
They're definitely signals. And as we increase our capacity and our ability to transverse from observer to participant and back and forward, not either to any extreme. So you get people who are extreme in observation as well, and they're very dysfunctional in a different way, because they're numbed out to their experience. They never feel anything, and they're always, you know, kind of logicking everything and reasoning everything. So they're missing out on all of that great intelligence that all of these sentient beings in your bodily experience are actually trying to bring to your awareness. And the more we ignore them, the louder they get. It's like anything, it's quite fascinating when you practice this for a while and you practice mindfully observing your experience in the moment. As soon as you listen to it and you acknowledge it and you validate it and you own it, the message is being delivered. So the messenger can then go, okay, good, I've done my job, you know, and now I can leave.
It kind of also reminds me of perhaps, like, I like metaphors, so yes. Here we go with another one.
Yeah, good.
A conductor and an orchestra. So the observer listens to the orchestra, and then you'll get a clear sound from each of the instruments.
That's right. And I think in all of this, whether we're in observer mode or we're participant mode, we're mindfully going through it in the moment, in the now, in the present, not really trying to get anywhere. It's like we don't like take the role of the observer to get rid of sadness, for example. We just accept that sadness is a part of life, and when sadness comes, sadness is trying to give me intelligence on what I need to do to help myself, support myself, love myself, take care of myself, in that present moment experience.
Yeah, it's not about getting rid of it. It's about listening.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So exciting to think about this idea of having a lot more control over the change process. And it makes me think of those circles that you can draw about the circle of concern and the circle of control. So the circle of concern is that area where you're worried about, but you don't really have any direct control over, like what might be happening, you know, in the political environment, for example.
Yeah.
And but you've got a circle of control where you can actually make some of your own changes, and you can approach it in a creative way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so empowering, isn't it? Like just the idea of it. It is. There are things that are beyond our control.
What I am so loving about this, because you've got these processes, but the idea of making almost like a little control panel that you can, like, you know, like a pilot.
Yeah.
If you have your changes from going from one place to another, for example, knowing what your destination is, and then using these controls. We're going to be talking more about this over a period of time.
Yeah.
And so, and there'll be a website that you can have a look at.
Yeah, I'm going to build up a whole lot of resources for people so that they can go through the process with us.
Learn
along with us by actually putting it into practice in their own life in some way, shape or form. So obviously we do give you a lot of information, so it'd be really helpful to be able to read it afterwards. We'll podcast it as well so you can hear it live, and there'll be assessments and worksheets and fun activities for people to participate
in. So exciting. We're going to do this. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.